Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, well, it's 8:15. We started talking about habeas corpus, then we talked about tax credits for drilling as opposed to gas, then we talked about insurance in Louisiana, then we mentioned that a guy that had a $10 million bounty on his head last year is now the president of Syria and met with President Trump yesterday. And Rafael Goyeneche joins us now, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. Rafael, good morning. You're a smart guy. How you doing?
I'm fine, but I can't answer any of those topics.
Do you ever just, I mean, you're a smart guy. That's why I wanted to pick your brain about this. Did your head ever just, all of the synapses and the ganglia and whatever it is in your head just tend to feel like it's on fire where you're trying to make sense of it and nothing makes sense?
Just every day.
Wow.
Every day. Yeah.
So it's not just me.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Let's talk about the consent decree and what's going on with NOPD.
Well, so everyone knows that, you know, the consent decree has been in existence for 12 years. And earlier this year, the Department of Justice and the City of New Orleans, by joint motion, petitioned the court to move the police department into the final phase, the sustainment phase. And during the hearing that was conducted, it was admitted by the city that the police department wasn't in total compliance yet. There was still some work to be done. But the Department of Justice agreed with the city that the city was capable of handling their business over the next 2 years, achieving compliance, and the court agreed and entered the city and the Department of Justice into the phase that we're in right now, which is the sustainment phase. So what was happening the evening of that ruling from the court, the city went into the federal appellate court and reiterated their request to terminate the consent decree. And that was sort of a head scratcher because the city basically acknowledged that there was work to do, agreed that they were going to do the work, and the work that's going to be done is going to be done primarily by the police department. But at the 11th hour, they were reiterating their request to totally terminate the consent decree. So what has happened after that is the Department of Justice attorneys that were working on that case in January are all gone, and they've been replaced by a new DOJ attorney.
This is
that coupled with,
to be clear, this is DOJ in Washington at the behest of President Trump or the person that's running the Department of Justice?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So then what we had after that was President Trump issued an executive order directing the federal attorney general to review all consent decrees and consider moving to conclude any consent decree that was impeding law enforcement's ability to perform their duties. So in the context of New Orleans, the police department's been under a consent decree for a dozen years. The Crime Commission has documented the crime rate in the city of New Orleans since COVID. And what we saw was that under the consent decree, crime went up in 2021 and 22. But beginning in 23, the police department started doing some additional strategies that included proactive policing, not waiting for someone to dial 911. They started doing gun enforcement and drug enforcement and traffic enforcement, and they started arresting more of the violent and repeat felony offenders. And over the last two and a half years, we've seen crime dramatically go down. So the fact that crime went up during the consent decree had little or nothing to do with the consent decree. Mm-hmm. The fact that crime is going down indicates that the consent decree is not an impediment to the police department's ability to protect and serve and achieve a safer city for the people of New Orleans. So what we're now waiting to see, now that this appeal has been officially lodged and docketed in the federal appellate courts, is the DOJ going to join with the city in requesting that the consent decree be terminated at this point in time? That remains to be seen, but if the executive order issued by President Trump is any indication, coupled with the change in attorneys that were representing the Department of Justice, that is, I think, a real possibility. What that means is that if the DOJ and the city join together in moving to conclude the consent decree, that's going to be a powerful argument. But let's assume for a second that the consent decree is in fact terminated. The NOPD has committed to maintaining constitutional policing. And the person that has been adamant in that position is the superintendent, Ann Kirkpatrick. When she came into New Orleans, the city of New Orleans was on the cusp of being held in contempt of court for not complying with the consent decree. She stepped in and convinced the judge that under her leadership, the department would work to obtain substantial compliance with the consent decree. The judge gave her a chance. In less than 2 years from the time that she was brought in, the department achieved substantial compliance, has moved into the final phase. During the hearing conducted in court, the city of New Orleans initially said that they wanted to terminate the consent decree. Superintendent Kirkpatrick stood firm in opposing the city attorney that was doing what the mayor requested to terminate the consent decree, saying that she supported the department moving into the sustainment phase and maintaining the consent decree. So her commitment to constitutional policing is, I think, something that the public needs to realize. If the consent decree is terminated, means that there won't be any federal oversight, but the superintendent is committed to constitutional policing. This consent decree has been in place for a dozen years. I think the culture of the police department has been changed. My concern with respect to the Trump executive order directing the Department of Justice to review all consent decrees is not so much with the NOPDs. My concern is the other consent decree that's on the books in New Orleans, and that's the jail.
Let me pick it up when we come back right there, Raphael, because that's what I was going to get to, the OPS, the Sheriff's Office consent decree. We'll talk about that when we come back. Raphael Goyeneche, President, Metropolitan Crime Commission, 823, quickly to traffic on WWL. All right, 827, quickly back to Raphael Goyeneche talking about consent decrees and them going away. We already talked about NOPD. Raphael, let's pick it up with the consent decree that the Orleans Parish jail is under.
Right. So while the police department, I think, is largely in compliance with the consent decree and is on path to achieve total compliance, that's not the case for the sheriff's office. So with the NOPD consent decree, if the federal monitors go away, we still have a local independent police monitor in place that can step into the shoes of what the federal monitors have been doing to make sure the department maintains compliance with the consent decree. That is not the case with the sheriff's office.
Wait, are you talking about Ann Kirkpatrick when you're saying the local monitor?
No, I'm talking about Stella Kinsmith, who is the IPM for the city of New Orleans.
I got you. Okay.
So that office was created before the consent decree, and they're supposed to be monitoring to make sure the police department is, in fact, practicing constitutional policing. So they can step into the shoes of the federal monitors to make sure the department is maintaining compliance. That doesn't exist for the sheriff's office, and the sheriff's office has been under a consent decree for about as long as the police department. But unlike the police department, the sheriff's office is struggling with obtaining compliance. In fact, over the last 4 years, they've actually regressed in their compliance with the consent decree. The sheriff's office has opposed the construction of a medical mental health facility, and that's been litigated at taxpayer expense for the better part of 6-7 years or longer. And it's finally under construction. If the consent decree goes away, there is no one to enforce the continuation of the completion of that project. So that is essential, in my opinion, to operate the jail in a safe manner, because many of the inmates in that jail have medical and mental health issues. They become the vulnerable, the people that are being preyed upon by some of the other offenders. The Crime Commission has documented that the 1,400 to 1,500 inmates that are in that jail are some of the worst, not just in the city of New Orleans, but in the state of Louisiana. Two-thirds of that 1,400 inmate population are in there for felony crimes of violence and felony weapons offenses at any given time. It's about 230 people waiting to be tried on homicide charges. Mm-hmm. So if that jail is not made safe, and that's what the consent decree is about with the jail, then it's not only making it unsafe for the inmates, it's unsafe for the deputies that work in that facility. So that consent decree with the jail is, I think, critically important to obtaining a safer jail, because if we don't fix the issues in the jail, they're opening the sheriff's office and the taxpayers of New Orleans up to litigation that could cost taxpayers millions of dollars when inmates or deputies are injured as a result of the jail not being in compliance with standards of safety and maintaining the assets that are necessary to run that operation safely.
Raphael, I want you to come back because I want to keep an eye on this. Please, Raphael Goyeneche, President of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. We'll take a break, come back. 8:31, traffic, news, everything else now with WWL First News and Dave Cohen. All right, 8:47, 13 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Richard Abulafia, Managing Director of Aerodynamic Advisory and expert in military aircraft. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Good to be on your show.
Thanks for taking the time with us. This whole thing with a new Air Force One from the country of Qatar, I'm trying to decide, you know, we have a an interesting situation in the United States with who our friends are, who our enemies are, the president.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And yesterday, meeting with a guy that a year ago, who is now the head of Syria, who opposed Assad, who a year ago had a $10 million bounty on his head by the State Department. But when it comes to security concerns, and I'm take me from the get-go with this Air Force One deal, because I can understand as a taxpayer, you know, sure, if somebody's going to give you a plane, take it. But there are other concerns as well, I guess, as it relates to security. And when it comes to something like Air Force One, I don't know how you would ever be sure that the plane coming from somewhere else is secure unless you completely gut it. Am I making stuff up in my head or not?
You sound like a rational person to me. This is all very strange on many different levels, even the economic level, frankly, mm-hmm. because, yeah, the jet component of Air Force One, believe it or not, is just a tiny, tiny minority portion of the total price. So you could get a free 747. It wouldn't make a difference.
You're talking about the shell,
ultimately,
right? The shell and the basic plane, yeah. Okay.
That's all. Yeah, it's billions of dollars to wire it up.
So when it comes to a 13-year-old plane, I don't know, how old is Air Force One now? Do you know the plane?
Yeah, it was built in the late 1980s, but it's not like these things fly at airline levels of utilization. Mm-hmm. So it's relatively low hours, despite the fact that it's 30-something years old.
So why? I don't understand the reason behind this. Do you, as an expert in military aircraft?
I don't get it, because there's an Air Force One replacement program underway, VC-25B, and Boeing has been managing and at times mismanaging it. But the good news is they signed a fixed price contract, which means all of the big cost overruns are borne by Boeing and its investors. So it's late. It's not going to arrive for another 2 years. But all of the money being spent, the billions of overruns, that's on Boeing. So if you add this to it, that's on the taxpayer, which kind of annoys me as a taxpayer.
What is that annoys you, Richard?
Well, basically, you're taking this additional program on top of the one that Boeing is, you know, mm-hmm. paying for the last bit of. And you're saying, all right, we need to wire it up to basically do the same thing as the other program for some reason. It's going to cost billions of dollars, and the U.S. taxpayer has to pay that. Yes, the jet is free, as you say, just the shell, and that's great. But the wiring to make it capable of doing the Air Force One mission is billions of dollars that would just come straight out of the taxpayer.
All right, so we're building a new Air Force One, Boeing is, right? That's what you're telling me?
Yeah.
It's going to be ready by the time President Trump goes out of office in about 3.5-4 years, as I understand it?
There's going to be – they've offered to do kind of a, you know, not quite 100% spec, but can be spiraled in version by 27.
Okay, so in the meanwhile, we're going to take this plane from Qatar, a 13-year-old 747-8 from the royal family, and basically gut it, and then refurbish it completely to Air Force One standards at an additional cost, and then I guess paint it up as well, right?
Yeah, and in terms of time, if it's by 2030, I think that would be working miracles. So it's billions of dollars of taxpayers' money and just this even worse time frame than the current Air Force One replacement program.
So the Air Force One replacement would be out before the redesigned plane from Qatar? Is that what you're telling me?
I guess that's the irony here, yeah.
Okay. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back, because I'm not quite sure what the problem is with Air Force One now, because as you said, it's not like a Delta, that the plane that they're flying from Houston to New Orleans 18 times a day. So I don't know. We'll talk about it when we come back. 8:51, 9 till 9. The whole thing has me scratching my head. I don't get it. And maybe Richard can tell me what I'm not getting, but apparently he's not getting it either. 8:51, 9 till 9. You got any questions, comments, 504-260-1870. Traffic now, WWL. So it's 8:57, 3 till 9. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Richard Aboulafia, Managing Director of Aerodynamic Advisory and Expert in Military Aircraft. Richard, talk about, if you will, and again, you know, they talk about strings being attached with Qatar, and I don't understand why people are for this other than the fact that President Trump wants it. It just seems to me that when it comes to Air Force One, which has to be, in essence, a flying Oval Office, the White House, that you would want control of the plane from the beginning to the end, or you would have to strip it down to nothing and start all over again. Tell me how Air Force One is different than other aircraft, please.
Yeah, you know, basically there's three areas of concern. One is, as you say, to have complete control of the production process. And if you don't, you can't take anything for granted. So you have to strip it down, start all over again. It's no longer a jet. It's now just a bunch of loose parts that have to be put back together. Okay. Mm-hmm. Second is it has to be wired for war. The ability to communicate with U.S. forces and authorities all over the globe, and foreign authorities too. Basically, the ultimate in encrypted communications, up to and including video, obviously, but all encrypted. And the ability to do that anywhere, no dead zones, as it were. And then finally, equipment to make it more survivable in the event of everything from an electromagnetic blast to just, you know, just the routine wear and tear and high levels of electric use if you're using all these complicated systems. That means everything from electronic warfare, missile warning receivers, additional generators, whatever else. So everything related to the plane's survivability, in essence. Those are the three areas of difference between that and a jet you might fly on.
Thank you, Richard. I appreciate your time. I really do. We'll talk to you again, hopefully. Somebody texted in and said, this is misinformation that the plane just has to be retrofitted from Qatar. And I would ask you, really, honestly, you believe that? You would trust a plane from another country for Air Force One and not have to strip it down completely and start all over with a shell to control every element in the plane? That makes no sense to me.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.